This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Fat Boy Friday been put on hold because the wrestling is this weekend, and it's not just a regular wrestling match, it's the ACC Championship. So our man Quinn Miller from Virginia joined us in hour number one. He's tremendous. We wish him the best and all the wrestlers. It will be a great event in Raleigh. We've got a ton of guests lined up for you, though, the rest of the day. But, Mr. Durham, yep. We have been putting on a clinic in blind resume. And I think the smart folks in Bristol have had enough of our lucky shenanigans. And so now they're here to embarrass us, which they'll probably do a pretty good job, my guess.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Brooks represents the front line of this very fine program, and he is here to moderate Who Am I?
Yeah, so this is going to be a little different. We are definitely not trying to embarrass you, but we are streaming live on the ESPN app. So we're going to give you four clues for every player. They're going to progressively get a little bit easier, we believe, and we want to know how well you know the basketball players, men and women, in the ACC. So, for instance, I said, you know, this player leads the men in points and rebounds,
Champagne,
you would know that it's true. Justin Champagne.
Justin Champagne.
That's one. But it's not going to be that easy.
Wait a minute. That's it? I mean, I was totally wired in for Justin Champagne to be at least one of these. So, we're going to get at least credit for one.
But I do believe you'll get the first two, and then things are going to get a little bit harder. So hopefully everybody playing along at home has some fun here, too. So our very first
for valuable prizes and promotional items.
Yeah, winner gets a choice of apple or orange juice. Winner gets apple or orange juice.
All right, go ahead.
Orange for me. Clue one, I started my first collegiate game, a season opener versus Eastern Washington. Who am I?
My first collegiate game, a season opener against Eastern
Washington. If you don't know, we'll move on.
Please move on.
Clue two.
Let's go to clue two.
I lead my team in scoring despite not leading my team in minutes played. Looks like we're going to get to clue three.
We're really rolling on this. This is even going better than I anticipated. Number three.
Yeah.
I've scored more points in college than my dad did at the same school.
Oh, Buddy Boeheim.
Congratulations. Wes, you've identified our very first player. The last one was going to be my dad appeared on Packer and Durham one time. But now we know how the game works.
They didn't have Eastern Washington first collegiate game. Okay, never mind.
Apology accepted.
Wes was looking for a technicality there. He was calling out the smart people there. You saw that?
We're going to screw up one, but we're not going to screw up the first one that we sent to you. Okay, so now we got the easy one out of the way.
Had you given us clue four originally, that would have taken – we'd have saved 2 minutes.
okay, so how about this? I'll start with clue four for the second the second person, and we'll see how well you can
Okay.
Can I go walk the dogs, or do you need me for this?
No. Oh, okay. No, this is fun. Go ahead. We're good. You're fine. All right.
Okay, so clue four for the second player is I've been on Packer and Durham four times.
Dana Evans.
See, if we just give you clue four, this game is way too easy. So we're not going to do that again. Lesson learned.
We kind of like that.
Lesson learned.
You running out of material already there, smart guys? What's the problem?
We have plenty of material, now hopefully is where we
Packers
get to
gone from
guys.
Walking the dog to ridiculing the talent now. Ridiculing the Lumberjacks.
Who am I? Talent, new player, who am I? Clue number one. Clue one, I rank in the top five in the conference in scoring, rebounding, field goal percentage, blocks, and minutes per game.
Moses Wright.
Incorrect. Clue two, my dad played basketball at Wake Forest.
Elizabeth Kitley.
My man, Wes, congratulations. You are now 3 for 3. This game is too easy.
It's a sweet-looking basketball right there, Virginia
Tech. She's been on Packer and Durham. She's appeared on Packer and Durham, has she not?
I looked that up. Hold on. Let's go to the technicality. What's Pac? BPI? What are the odds the BPI would give us on that?
I think she's been on.
I will look
it up. I'm almost positive.
I think she has too. But hold on.
I think you guys are both wrong.
Well, hold on, big man. I got the whole list right here on the computer. Let me look it up.
So do I. She has not been on the show. We named her ACC Rookie of the Year on March 3rd, 2020. But she has not appeared on the show.
That is correct.
She's never been on the show?
That is correct.
All right.
True.
All right. We got to get Liz Kitley on this show. I don't know how that happens. We got a good relationship with Kenny Brooks. We got to get Liz Kitley on the show. Maybe we just get Ralph on and call it even. What do you think, Pac? We can get Ralph on, right?
Put them both on.
Yeah, we get both on. That'd be fun, too.
All right, new player.
By the way, Ralph Kitley. Drew, Ralph Kitley was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
In 19 what?
I think it was
Efforting the 77 one you guys wanted us to get.
No, it's 19. You know when he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, Pac? You remember.
I do not.
He was on the cover with Sam Ivey. Yeah, it was Ralph Kitley and Sam Ivey were on the cover of Sports Illustrated when J.R. Reed was the major picture on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
I don't remember.
1987.
That.
I want to say 87. February of 87, January of 87, somewhere along in there.
This is turning into trivia night, and boy, I have a great time with trivia.
Oh, and we know how you feel about trivia.
All right, quickly, we have two more players before we get Coach Mac on. Clue number one for your next player. I've played in 4 ACC tournament games. It's hard, I know. So we're going to go straight to clue 2.
No. Let us marinate on that a second.
4 ACC tournament games.
I know. Well, that clue's so terrible that let me marinate on that a second. I have played in 4 ACC tournament games.
I'm going to say Amir Sims.
Amir Sims is incorrect, so we'll go to clue 2, unless Pac wants more time.
Go ahead.
All right, clue 2. I've won 76% of regular season ACC games that I've played in the last 3 years.
Oh, boy.
Ooh. All right, we'll go to clue 3.
That's a lot.
I've never been on a team ranked higher than 4th in the AP poll.
Clue 4. Can I get to clue 4? Getting in a funk roll is more fun than this game. True or false?
It's going to be a long second segment then. Clue 4, I'm currently tied for 11th on my school's all-time free throw percentage list.
Kihei Clark?
Nope. Here's all 4 clues. Final guess.
Can I rule out Buddy Boeheim?
Yes.
I at least got one.
Rule out Buddy Boeheim.
Of course, you got to rule him out.
I have no clue. This one's hard. I don't know. It should be somebody we know. MJ Walker. Good heavens! Stop.
All right, very last one in this segment, so that we can stop torturing Pac. Clue number 1.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Honey, what? Do you want to drink some Clorox? Absolutely. I'll be right back with you guys. Hold on. No, go ahead.
don't forget to swallow. I was the first ACC player of the week this season. Clue 1.
No.
Clue 2. I have more offensive rebounds than defensive rebounds this season and lead my team in
Moses
both.
Wright. Moses Wright.
That is not correct.
No.
Clue 3. I'm the only member of my team in the top 25 in scoring in the ACC.
Nate Leshesky.
Incorrect. Clue 4. I received all ACC tournament second team honors last season.
No, you didn't, because they didn't name one. 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Oh, that ruins it. That ruins it for everybody.
No, I'm sorry. They actually did. This is 100% correct and accurate. Clue 5 is her coach joins you next.
Oh.
Tyler Soule. Tyler Soule.
Well, those are hard. I got to
tell you. There you go.
Those are hard.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer. and Wes Durham.
You all right there, Mr. Durham? You gonna make it? You gonna survive today?
Yeah, I just remember last fall when we talked about how we would not do trivia on this show. I thought about that during the commercial break.
I thought about, you know, my daughter Emerson made this 22-pound bronze football. There was a moment in that last segment I thought about swallowing it. Just thought about me just taking a bite out of it.
Can we let's go to Chestnut Hill. Let's get out to Comm Ave, shall we?
Coach Mack.
Joanna Barnaby McNamee is the head women's basketball coach at Boston College. And bless her heart, we did not subject her to Who Am I? In the last segment. Great to have you with us again. Congratulations on the win Sunday against Georgia Tech. Small hurdles to clear, big wins. I mean, how do you qualify kind of what this journey's been like for you?
Well, I think, you know, it's been a kind of a tough road, really bumpy. And we have to celebrate, like I tell our players all the time, we have to celebrate everything great that happens this year because those moments are sometimes far and few between. So, you know, even like we say, hey, we're going to end this drill with three in a row in practice. When we make three in a row, like I want everybody to be fired up because that's what it's about. So we really needed that Georgia Tech win just to give us some ammunition in our blood, some fight, you know, because that's something that this year at times has taken away from us just because of all the pauses and all the breaks we've had.
You know, you need to every now and then, I don't care what you do for a living, but eventually when you put in the work, you just need a little reward, right? You just need a sense of, hey, we're not doing this just because we're killing time. And that had to be the deal. I mean, there's got to be a sense of satisfaction just getting a game in given the COVID and the pandemic. But eventually, hey, you know what? You do lift weights and run steps and do drills and coaches are barking at you and you do all the stuff you're supposed to do. And when you finally get that sense of, hey, you know what? That's what winning tastes like. I can't even imagine putting a price tag on what happened on Sunday because not only did you just win a game, Coach, you beat arguably as hot a team as there is in this conference, and Georgia Tech has been out of sight. And to hold them to 2 points in the fourth quarter, I mean, that was just a great, great team effort.
Right, I agree. And I think that, like you said, our players work so hard, and they're very – I love this group because they're really selfless. They have great character. And I know every coach says that, but this team really is. They're so much fun to be around. And, you know, I think just those pauses really made us miss each other without question. It made us get back on the floor and really cherish the time we have together. And like I said, basketball for us has been what has made this crazy time normal. It's kind of given us our sanity. So, but winning is what we're out there for, right? That's what makes everything click, and it's what makes you really feel that joy in your heart. So I was super happy for our team, our staff. Like you said, we needed that not only just for our momentum, but just for sanity in and of itself.
All right, Coach. So we know Taylor Soule's one of the best players in this league. But Cameron Schwartz has played well for you. It's been a collaborative development process this year, if nothing else. So what does it mean to have someone like Cameron step up and have a big ball game Sunday and make some key plays?
Oh, I was so proud of her. And she needed that too. Like, she has that potential. We see that on a daily basis in practice. And she's been one of those players that, you know, maybe took some criticism early about taking uncharacteristic shots or what have you. But, you know, she makes those shots in practice and she does a good job. And she's gotten to the point now because she's finally been able to get in the gym and put time in. And with all players, you know, that's what makes the difference is when you get to kind of hone your craft in your own time. You know, we say during the season, we get better as a team in practice, but you got to find that time to get with a coach, to get with people on your time, to really get what you want to accomplish and get your skill level at a pace where it can be very consistent. And she's really been able to do that over the last couple weeks, which kind of was taken away from us there for a while.
Coach, obviously fans are at home watching games and, you know, you want to win every game you play. I get all that stuff. But what we don't see, all of us sitting on the couch, is leadership behind the scenes. When you have a year like this where it's been tough as far as finding W's and then you get a great win against Georgia Tech, from a leadership standpoint, what have you found out about this team behind closed doors, at practices, how they handle class and just this whole COVID thing? Because as fans, we don't see any of this, but you do. What have you learned about this team?
I've learned that they're really resilient. And I think that peer leadership is more important than any type of leadership. And that's something that this group has had with each other. And, you know, you had mentioned Taylor Soule earlier. She's that type of player that leads so well by example. Just she almost every day has that consummate positive attitude. And she really is truly not in it for herself. She loves the. She has that true joy when anybody else succeeds and plays well and does great things. So having that as your leadership, everybody else just kind of revolves around that and also takes from it. And so it's almost like her enthusiasm continually becomes contagious. And I love that she's able to lead us. And then because we have that core group of juniors that luckily has been with me for a few years, they work hard to not let this year the things that we've had to overcome get them down. And at the end of the day, that's the most important part. You know, we always say you don't always remember every win and loss, but you remember the moments that you make throughout your college career. So we're still trying to make great moments.
Coach, let me just follow up with that a second. You know, because you and the staff are going to worry about every detail known to man under the sun. Have you found in a year like this, given COVID, the wins, the losses, and so forth, that they have helped you in a sense of, hey, coach, let's go? You know, do you find yourself sometimes going, because you're worried about every little detail, right? I know how coaches are, every little detail. But have you found that the players have basically helped you and the staff at times?
I think their sense of humor helps me definitely on a daily basis. They're funny. They're truly funny, which I so appreciate. And I like when they kind of can involve us as their staff in on that humor. So, you know, for me, I do think there's been down times, like, you know, after certain games where we've gotten on them and I'm sure they can't stand me. But I like that we can bounce right back because they kind of know we're all on the same page. We're all in this together and we all hurt from losses the same. So we pick each other up, and I'm just proud of them for being able to have that, you know, uncanny wittiness, sense of humor, and bringing it full circle to where we can get back in, you know, the next day at practice and say, all right, we didn't play the way we wanted to play, but here we are again, and we're going to start, like you said, hammering out the details and preparing for our next game. And they've done a great job of that. So that's why I said this year has actually still gone fast, even though it's been probably the most trying year of all of us as coaches all of our lives.
You've got Syracuse for a second time tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. It's game two of our doubleheader here on ACCN. What'd you learn the first time, and now coming off the win, what do you think can help you tomorrow night at the Dome?
Right. Well, the first time, we really didn't do a great job defending Cardoza and giving her any kind of heat. I think she was like 100% from the floor against us. So that's something that we have to really hone in on, and we've made some adjustments to defending her and making sure that against their zone that we don't rush. I thought we did a good job last time attacking their pressure, so we want to keep that up. But then we can't let them rush us into fast shots. We want to take the shots that we want to get. You know, we always talk about passing up a good shot for a great shot. So making sure this is a game where we do that, but also taking care of business on the defensive end.
Coach, from a practice perspective, do you get a sense there's a little, you know, hop in the step this week after the W, or is it just business as usual?
No, there's always a little hop in the step after a win. You can't help it. Everybody, you know, the music feels a little bit better during pre-practice. Everything just feels a little bit better. And that's exactly what I told him. This is why we play. We love to feel like this. Even after the game, we hadn't felt that way, it feels like, well, forever. So we needed that, and now we want to try to keep that going.
All right, Joanne, I got one question as I have my coffee here. If you were able to take one positive from what's been a very difficult year, what would it be? I've asked coaches this. I've asked student athletes this. You have to learn something from the hardships of this year that you're going to carry forward with. Maybe it's planning, process, structure. I don't know. What is it for you?
Geez, on a coaching level, on a professional level, the people you surround yourself are everything. People is what makes it happen. So, you know, normally you always say winning is a cure-all. Well, when you're not winning, how do you get through it? And it's the people that you surround yourself with. So I'm just super fortunate that I'm surrounded by great players, that I have a good staff, that I have people I enjoy being with every day, regardless if we're winning or losing. And on a personal level, I've gotten to spend so much quality time with my family due to the lack of travel for recruiting and things like that. So those are the two things that have been kind of the silver lining.
Coach, final question for me. Do you think your husband will be very, very disappointed in this interview that you didn't bring up how you've dominated the cornhole championships?
No, he actually just said don't talk about it, because the last time we played one-on-one, it was not good for him.
See?
Look, that was what I love.
I want to share something here.
Subtle, and it's just like the slight jab. I'm sorry for the black eye. We'll catch you later. That's what I liked about that move right there.
That's it.
Very subtle.
You know, we're developing content as we go on the ACC Network. Mark has already said that we're going to have a snowball draft. We're going to take ACC Network personalities. We're going to draft for snowball fight, right?
Yep.
And the second thing is we're going to have the cornhole challenge. We're going to get cameras. We're going to get it mic'd up. We're going to see the competitive Weirton, West Virginia come out in you. That's what we're looking for, I think, in ACC Network content.
I'm here for that content for sure.
Coach Max on my team. I'm going to tell you right now, Coach Max on my team. I don't care who else picks whatever. Yeah. Max on my team. That's all I know.
There you go.
Love it. Coach, hang in there. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday. Appreciate Coach Mack joining us. Great win against Georgia Tech on Sunday. We'll see if that continues. Yeah. Tough test with Syracuse, though. And speaking of the Cuse, Mr. Durham, we are heading to Central New York because it is time to talk men's lacrosse. I told you yesterday, the men and the women in this league, every team is ranked this week. Every single one of them. And Tucker Dordovic joins us now. You ready for this? Tucker makes his debut for us.
Yeah,
here he is, front and center. And Tucker, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Wes.
Four goals in the opener. Know you guys were upset by Army. It's a tough way to start, but you know you don't rest long here in this league, because here comes Virginia this weekend, and one of the matches we're really excited to show on ACC Network, Tucker. So you kind of almost got to forget win or loss what happened in the opener, don't you?
Yeah, you got to have a quick memory in this league for sure. You know, losing a game, it's always nice playing in the ACC, because next weekend you could play a top five team, and usually it is, and you can bounce back right away, which is nice.
Tucker, I just mentioned that every team in the league, men's and women's lacrosse teams, are ranked this week, which is an absolutely ridiculous stat. But it goes to your point that, hey, you know, win or lose – hey, it's rearview mirror when that thing ends, because here comes the next wave, right? I mean, you really can't get too comfortable, even though we're going through COVID and everything else, because you know there's going to be a quality opposition the next go-around.
Yeah, I know, at least on the men's side, I think all the teams are within the top 10, 11, 12 teams in the country right now, so it is definitely nice being able to, you know, come have a loss and come in and play Virginia, who's like the number two team in the country. But besides that, as the season goes forward, most of the teams are in the top eight throughout the whole year. So, like you said, you got to have a quick memory and move on to the next opponent.
Is Syracuse, Virginia, is that the one for you? Is that the one that is just kind of like there? They are the defending national champs because the event got shelved last year. I mean, is that the team that you guys, you know, that's number one when you play them?
Yeah, it kind of depends. We have a really, really long-standing rivalry with all the ACC teams, but especially Virginia. I think if you look at like the stats, it's like, I'm going to get this totally wrong, but it's like the goals are like one apart in the series. So let's say there's been 430 goals scored. It's like 430 to 429. Mm. It's like something ridiculous. Wow. So it's definitely one that we circle on the map every year for sure.
Tucker, you know, you think of Syracuse lacrosse and its history and its tradition. What was it that when you were deciding, hey, you know what, Syracuse is the place for me, that put it over the top? Because when you go through the history of this sport at this particular school, it is unbelievable. Mm.
Definitely. So I'm from a non-hotbed in Oregon. So Syracuse was always kind of circled on my map when I was younger, and my club coach happened to be from Oregon, which was Ryan Powell. And so I always kind of wanted to come here. And when the opportunity arose, I was like, I remember coming out here with my parents. We went to UNC Syracuse basketball game, which was pretty cool. And that was kind of the cherry on top, and like all the history and stuff, and sitting in Coach Desko's office with all these different trophies and a million national championship trophies behind his desk is really struck out to me compared to those scores I looked at, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I bet so.
All right, now you classified by saying I grew up in a non-hotbed.
Mm-hmm.
How did lacrosse then come to Tucker Dordovic? Excuse me.
No worries. So I have two older brothers. One actually ran track at the University of Texas, but he played lacrosse. They're 4 years older than me, and they played lacrosse when they were in fourth grade and I was in first, and they hated it, and I actually loved it. So I kind of just stuck to it.
That probably was an incentive, wasn't it? Oh, you guys hate it. You know what? I love it even more, right? That's normally how that
exactly.
works. Yeah, you know, if they would have loved it, you'd probably been playing basketball or doing something else. Like, I'll play some baseball. You know, you guys forget that. You don't go play lacrosse. We're gonna go do something else.
Exactly. They're very bad, like ball sports, like football, basketball, whatever. And they were not good at lacrosse. It was like the one thing I was finally better at them, or at least I thought at the time. Who knows if I actually was, but that was definitely
helpful. That's great. When you made the transition from Oregon to walking at Syracuse, listen, everybody can play, right? That's the one thing that I'm sure. That was also part of the hook that, guess what? Every dude in this locker room is a player. What was it like the first go-around when you walked in there and you said, oh, my God, I'm playing for Syracuse lacrosse, and you saw the talent level across the board?
It's pretty surreal, to be honest. I mean, still walking in the locker room every time, you almost get the chills looking up. We have, like, the plaque above our locker has all the names of people who were on it before or who had our number before, and seeing some of the people on there and looking back on it and just walking around the locker and seeing some of the historic names and some of the like art around the locker room is pretty sweet, and it gives you the chills almost every time you enter.
I bet.
So you meet with Coach Desko. I'm fascinated about this Oregon to Central New York trip.
Yeah.
You decide to come to Syracuse. You have some success, but you're now 4 years into a program as a redshirt sophomore. So there's obviously been a journey here. What have you learned being a part of this program that's more than just the success in lacrosse?
Definitely. I think when I first got here, everything was kind of, especially being a freshman, I was like very hyper-focused on lacrosse and didn't really want to, like, I was just all lacrosse, which I still am. But I think now it's kind of told me to, like, take a step back and look at the journey as a whole. Before, I was focused on the moment so much instead of, like, really cherishing everything that goes on. And having sat out my sophomore year with an injury and then COVID, it's just taught me to, you know, be patient. Like, your time will come. You don't need to rush anything. And I think my freshman year, I wanted to kind of rush everything. And it's gave me a whole new love for the game and a whole new look at it when I play.
Tucker, there's always a pressure to win a national championship when you start talking about Syracuse and men's lacrosse. Do you guys feel that, or is that more just outside noise?
I think a little bit of both. We definitely feel it. I mean, it's hard not to when you walk around the locker room and you see 11 national championships. My locker is next to, like, our equipment stoop, and on it has all the national championships, so I see it every day. But for the most part, we know that's our end goal. We know we want to be there, and we kind of have a mantra that we started last year, which is just win the week. And I think that kind of helps us slow everything down and really cherish the week and know that, hey, we can't just jump to Memorial Day weekend right now. We have to focus on UVA and then whoever the following week is, we just focus on that. It's like kind of winning each week is a little mini season.
And Tucker, being in this league, it's one of the reasons I brought up the ranked stuff. You know, when you start thinking about, hey, we want to win the national championship, but quite frankly, winning the ACC might be harder than winning the national championship, as goofy as that sounds.
No, I mean, it's true. I mean, especially this year, and it, obviously all sports are still kind of wacky with COVID, but I mean, I think right now, like, UVA, UNC, Duke are like 1, 2, 3 almost. Us and Notre Dame aren't far behind. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be fun. And like you said, you have to play the top almost 5 teams in the country when you go through the ACC. I agree with that statement. It is at times, I'm sure, harder than winning a national, or just as hard as winning a national championship to win the ACC.
All right, Tucker, what do you miss most about Portland that you wish you had in New York? Because that's a long way to go to school now, my man.
Definitely. I think the easy one to say is my parents, just because I don't get to see them that much. But besides honestly, like the outdoors, I love to go skiing. I grew up ski racing. So having the mountains so close is something that I definitely miss.
Ski racing?
Ski racing.
Wait a minute now.
What's that about?
Wait a minute.
What's that about?
No,
I probably started in like fourth grade to freshman year of high school, and then after that I just free skied, but I did like Super G, GS, which is giant slalom, super giant slalom,
yeah,
and then slalom, yeah.
All right,
real ski racing.
I got in a conversation with some guy on the radio show yesterday in the afternoons from Canada, and I told him I was up in Vancouver, and we drove up to Whistler, and I was going to go ziplining, and to go ziplining, which I'm afraid of heights, which was a terrible, terrible move on my part, you had to go by the luge and the bobsled and the luge. Have you ever done that? Because you've got to be out of your mind to jump on that bad boy.
I'm with you. We actually, on Friday or Saturday this week, me and a bunch of buddies sat in front of our TV and we watched bobsled, luge, and skeleton.
Skeleton.
You know what the skeleton is.
Right.
Yeah. And crazy. We were saying the same thing. You got to be a lunatic.
Right. I mean, again, skiing is one thing, but the folks, the men and women that do that, you have evidently reached the point in your life you just don't care. If it ends,
it's crazy. Great.
Right? How in the world do people do that?
Yeah.
We came across a few not so lucky people getting some wrecks, and it is, I don't know how they even walk away. They're going like 100 miles an hour on ice.
But how good were you at ski racing? Was this a real deal now? Did you get some medals? Did you win some races?
Yeah, I was all right. I wasn't anything crazy, but I mean, I was like probably like top 50 on the West Coast.
Wow.
But jeez, there were some kids who can really ski.
Man, see, I thought you were going to say, like, what I really miss about Portland is Voodoo Donuts. But then you give us this professional ski racing thing, right? But Voodoo Donuts, no joke.
Voodoo
right?
is very good.
Uh-huh. See there? Yeah. It always comes back to food.
All right.
Always comes back to food. Well, listen, man, keep up the good work. This is going to be a crazy, crazy race with lacrosse, both the men and the women's side. But it's awesome. But before I let you go, though, since you're making your debut, we do this with every student athlete.
Of course.
What has been the hardest class you've had at Syracuse?
That's tough. My freshman year, this class isn't even that hard. I think it was just me being a freshman. I took this nutrition class. Actually, no, I take that back. I took this class on the human body last year, some bio class, and I'm not a body person, and it crushed me. I remember turning in my first exam, and I was like, I should have just given my drop papers with the exam. It was brutal.
Did you make it?
Ended up being fine, but
you got through it though, right?
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as I thought, but I remember the first couple tests, it was
definitely
above my head.
Yeah, all right. I hear you.
All right, Tucker, I'm gonna close with this. Dordovic is not a easily pronounceable last name, as evidenced by my efforts this morning. So what's the worst your last name's been mangled to you?
And you can say, just rewind the tape 10 minutes ago and play it. You could say that if you want.
Yeah, the one I tried to pronounce it. Yeah, you can if you want to.
That could have been close. No, I'm just joking. But people, it's not anything terrible. People always just like will say like Dordovic or like Dvorovic. Like, there'll be like random R's like thrown in there or like just random things. But yeah, I remember as a little kid at a camp, I'd always get like kind of embarrassed for some reason when people would say my last name wrong when they were like, going through like the roll call.
Hey, if it makes you feel better,
I appreciate.
Hey, the word Packer has been butchered too. So guess what? You know, just kind of roll with it, man. You just kind of roll with it.
All right, would be ski racing champion turned lacrosse scorer. Tucker Dordovic, thank you. Appreciate your time. Stay well. Good luck on this weekend. We're looking forward to seeing Syracuse, Virginia on ACC Network.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
David Thompson was named NC State's first African-American All-American winner in basketball. A two-time consensus National Player of the Year, David Thompson's jersey is the only jersey number retired in Wolfpack men's basketball history. Packer and Durham honor David Thompson and all the black athletes that paved the way in the ACC as we celebrate black history always here on ACC Network.
Boy, was he a
DT.
Player.
Woo. Skywalker. Woo. He was awesome.
Bad. Tell you what, all that David Skywalker Denver Nuggets stuff, y'all can have all that. I'll take the NC State video. Y'all can have all that Skywalker stuff from the NBA.
He was ridiculous. 44.
Yes, he was.
There were no
that was your guy, right? That was your guy?
That was my guy right there. 44 in the red and white. Let me emphasize, in the red and white. 44 was a bad.
I hate on the black jerseys.
I'm just saying he didn't wear black jerseys. He wore the red and all white right. of NC State. 44.
That's it.
Man, was he
just
great.
Like the fight song says.
Just like all right.
Another Wolfpack player who's playing well, would like to get to David Thompson's level before his career is over, is Jericho Helms, who has helped the Wolfpack through some tough times now. The loss of Devin Daniels to injury, but NC State got a big win in Winston-Salem, and they meet Virginia tonight. Yesterday, Jericho Helms joined us, and we talked first of all about his hometown, St. Louis, which might be a little underrated in basketball.
St. Louis is a gritty place. Not the easiest place to grow up, but of course it's a blessing to even have a place to grow up. So I think we have a lot of gritty guys and a lot of guys that haven't gotten noticed for their hard work. But as you know, hard work, you can't beat it. So someday it'll come to show. And I think the guys in St. Louis just pride themselves on hard work. So,
all right, Jericho, forget hard work. Forget basketball. Let's get right to it with St. Louis. I'm going to give you three options. You tell me which one you're going with, all right? Yeah. A, Ted Drew's frozen custard. B, ribs from Pappy Smokehouse. Mm-hmm. Or C, we go get some toasted ravioli up on the hill. You pick.
Oh,
what
boy.
Are we doing?
I'm going with the toasted ravioli on the hill.
Yeah. Yes, now, listen. You know, the folks here in Carolina, they don't know. They just don't know, do they? You
don't, nah, they
until
don't.
You go,
they
yeah,
don't
until you go
it.
Up on the hill, that's right. Until you go up on the hill in St. Louis and load up on some toasted ravioli, you can read about it, you can talk about it, but until you get the real deal, you just don't know.
Just
is that
don't
right?
Know. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and all three of those, you can't go wrong with any of those, man. Those St. Louis ribs, the frozen custard, man, that's
good
a
food.
Great food town. That's it.
Good
and
food.
Here's Wes talking hoops. I told you, man, forget hoops. Let's go eat. I want to go eat.
Yes, sir.
Well,
nothing wrong with hoops, but good food there.
That's it.
All right. So now, so when you get the chance to come play for Coach Keats, right? I mean, you're in the early buy-in now. I mean, you're one of those guys that, you know, he had kind of taken over in Raleigh. And you guys were in that spot a year ago where you're playing well and, you know, you're kind of working right there on the edge of the NCAA tournament, and everything gets shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Take me through that experience and now how you've had to kind of rebound back in what's been a weird year, let's be honest, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. First of all, it's a blessing to be back, but just trying to figure out ways to handle our business off the court and be able to come perform on the court with all the COVID rules and COVID regulations going around, but I think it's been a little different, but I wouldn't say too difficult. Just trying to focus on each game at a time, and if we get the opportunity to play, try to play as hard as we can. So,
you guys deserve a lot of credit because it would have been really, really easy just to tank the rest of this deal and say, guess what? We'll just try to catch you guys at the Greensboro Coliseum and try to win this ACC championship. What did you guys talk about as a team right after you found out that Devin was lost for the season? Because you guys have obviously responded.
Just trying to tell the guys and everybody stay together as a unit that we're going to need everybody to be the best team that we can possibly be and perform the best. Just trying to have that mentality to not lay down with any given situation is going to be thrown at you. So it's a game of basketball, and you got to be able to play every night. And whether it be a hurt rib or a hurt ankle, you got to be ready to play. So we pray for Devin every day and pray for a full recovery, and we just got to keep taking games on. So.
Jericho, what do you tell the young guys? I mean, guys like Cam Hayes, Shaq Moore, I mean, Sebron. I mean, what do you say to those guys when something like the Devin injury happens, and then you got to, I mean, you've been through some of this. You're a junior, but golly, you're like a crafted veteran now in this deal. So how do you work with the young guys to keep them moving forward?
As coach say every day, it's a new experience for everybody right now, including COVID. So those young guys, they got to be able to step up and become leaders in their own role and try to do the best that they can with the opportunity that they have right now. So,
all right, I let off asking you about some of the great food in St. Louis. Now I'm going to switch gears. Another big win on the road. I know Coach is looking for ice cream. So, hey, you've had a chance to get a bunch of flavors here lately. So what's the go-to in a perfect world for you after a big W on the road?
They go hate me on this one, but I'm not a big ice cream guy, so I don't usually get ice cream on the road. I usually get something sweet besides ice cream, and I get teased about it all the time. But I think as a young kid, I got too much ice cream, so when it comes around, I don't get no ice cream.
Wait a minute now. They ought to be ragging you left and right.
Hold on, man.
I'd be riding you hard, not going for a scoop ice cream. They're, you know they're making fun of you right now, watching you on television.
Right now.
You know that's true. So when Coach says, all right, we're going to get ice cream, so what do you do? I mean, all right, so you're the one dude in the world that doesn't like ice cream, so what are you going with?
I'll probably get a brownie or something. That's my go-to for any sweet, is just to get a brownie and call it a day. So,
well, I tell you what. There's got to be a nickname that is developed from all this, right? There's got to be something that the boys – it's an inside joke. So what's the story there? There's got to be.
They just call me weirdo, and I'll take it. I'm the old guy, so I'll take the weirdo.
You guys get Virginia. You know what the stakes are. You've had success against the Cavaliers. What do you take from previous meetings against Virginia, and kind of what have you seen this year about this particular Cavalier team? It looks to be a little bit more lethal on offense for sure.
Well, as we know, we played a pretty good game last time we played them, and little stuff throughout the game I think we needed to fix to get a better outcome. But obviously Virginia's a great team, great program. We look forward to playing them and know the certain things that we have to do to get our offense rolling, and especially on the defensive end, the things that we need to take care of to stop score. So,
the Packer and Durham Podcast.